Hour number two on a TED Talk Tuesday here on WEEI Afternoons. And Teddy's in the house. Just going to turn your mic on there, Teddy.
Oh, free now football. Let's go. Are you kidding me? This is incredible. Partly, I was so thrilled the Patriots won and then we get another week to talk about them. Partly because I had a strong take about this being a huge disappointment if they weren't able to win this game. Oh, I was going to have to defend it all week and all offseason. I don't have to now.
Plus, you had your little stat. If he turns it over and gets sacked three times, they lose. Except he did it.
You misheard me. Of course you did. I said in the three losses, the common theme was that. But they have had wins in which he's done it. But the common theme in all three losses were he had an interception and three sacks.
Now in the postseason, when he turns it over twice and is sacked five times, they win. That's how they get to the next round. So
it just goes to show you this team is got a great quarterback because there's room for error even in these games. They can still win.
That's why I love it. We talked about last week. Drake said, I have a huge, big job, and I know that I have to play well for us to win. I don't really think he played that well, and you still won.
And on the other side, the opponent that they have this weekend is they have room – they have room for error on offense because of how good that defense is.
Yes, absolutely. And they found room to use those errors last night. C.J. Stroud, remember how great he was supposed to be?
He was so good last year against the Patriots, though.
And it's like, what I saw last night looked like a chicken with his head cut off.
Is that offensive coordinator? Is that offensive?
Nick Caley.
That's the difference.
That's Nick Caley right there. It could be. I don't know. But he's a guy, we use that word, regression. C.J. Stroud looks like a guy that's regressed, not progressed, over his 3 years in the NFL. Like, there's still a youthful, problematic mistakes to him that you feel like you should be working out of your game, not part of your game still. So, but we're going to get to that. We got all week long to talk Patriots and Texans, that nightmarish matchup that nobody wanted to see. Well, we're all going to be watching around 3:30, 3 o'clock, whatever it is, kickoff time, Sunday at Gillette Stadium. They got the early game there. And then you'll obviously, Fitzy, right, stick around for the Six Rings postgame show, baby, till 9 o'clock right here on WEEI on Sunday night. But it is 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. That means it's time for Three Points Dances.
319! It's the 3 points dance.
Just count three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good.
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Got tip scores. Ties it 3-3.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3 points dance here on WEEI Afternoons. Andy, you look confused. Do you have a thought?
Not one that I want to share on air.
Okay, instead we'll have three hosts, each of which are presenting their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today, in Boston sports and beyond, no matter where the sports are happening. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You have 60 seconds for your opening stance, and I'm excited about the topic that you've chosen because I think it's an interesting mix between sports and media and just kind of human nature. So with all that being said, you have 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
So real quick, we have a little audio to set the stage.
I want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
You hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
And you did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you just hold your head up, okay?
Thanks,
and ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
thank
right?
You
keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
So that clip was Lynn Jones of the Jacksonville Free Press. Sounds like a tremendously nice woman.
Oh.
I love the message. I hate when, where, and how she delivered
it. This is unbelievable.
That was taken from Liam Cohen's post-game press conference right after his team lost to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. This is a work setting. In case you've never been to an NFL game, they literally announce in the press box, there's no cheering in the press box. They make an announcement that you're not allowed to cheer in the press box. And I would say, I've never heard that in a post-game press conference, but it would be generally understood. You're not supposed to cheer or come off as a fan in a post-game press conference. That is 8 to 12 minutes-ish of time with the head coach, fresh off the game, for you to ask questions, for you to gather information. Why did you lose? How'd it go so wrong? What happens? What's next? Whatever you want to ask. And Lynn Jones, again, I think you're a very nice woman with a very nice message. Just deliver it to Liam Cohen at a different time in a different place. Nailed it.
Do you really think she came across as a... I've seen the sign. I've also been... Andy, years ago, I got yelled at for wearing something in the press box. I get it. I've learned my lesson, sort of. I don't know. Was that fan-like, or was that almost just sort of like maternal?
She ended with Duval, like she actually.
Well, that's a rally cry for the region. That's not like a team.
But this is not the time for rallying cries or anything.
You can't be serious right now. You can't be serious.
I'm just asking. Well, I mean, I'm not serious that often, but I'm just asking. Mostly, I'm just asking questions. I don't think that that was horrendous.
Okay, so you think that press conferences are times for pep talks, cheering, rallying?
No, they're not.
Ted is obviously speechless. I'm giving him a second to collect his thoughts before.
I want to give Fitzy a chance to think about this a little bit. I've never in my life, I've heard a thousand press conferences. Have I ever heard anything like that?
So let me give you the counter.
Ted, I'm only just thinking. I'm just thinking that some instinct kicked into this woman where she left her journalistic sensibility and like something maternal kicked in and she just like felt compelled to just be like, oh, I feel horribly for this man right now. And I just want to let him know he made the region. Maybe she's willing to take the strike on her. Maybe she's willing to get the backlash from Andy.
Yeah.
Maybe she's willing to be castigated on national shows, on regional radio, et cetera. But something must have just overtaken her. I bet she doesn't break the rules and journalistic protocol on a regular basis.
100%
I bet you she's not a notorious repeat offender.
That's fair. I guess the only thing I would say is do it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Do it in private.
And it's very easy to do. If you've been to a press conference, if you want to talk to the coach as he walks off, you can. I don't care who the coach is, Bill Belichick, whoever. You can say something to him, pat him on the back as he walks
Text
off.
Text him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So my
But it'll go to Dayball instead.
I'm just saying, anything she writes this day forward is going to be looked through that the prism of she's a super fanboy of the head coach.
Right. And I don't even care about that. Maybe that's what she is. I've never read anything she's written. So maybe she is a fanboy.
The reader should care.
Also, Fitzy, you said like something kicked in her. And I agree. She came off, you know. When I'm having a bad day, I'd like her to call me. Like if she should now sell cameos. Like she'll call you and cheer you up.
So true.
Good. Maybe that's going to be her new thing. Onlyjagsfans.com. But it's going to be like a positive emotional resource website.
No, seriously, maybe she's going to keep her clothes on though, right?
That's what I said. But it's a positive, nurturing, emotional support website. Like I hear that. I didn't hear just like, and I'm on the sidelines and I'm cheering for Duval. You know I'm going to be there next year, even though there's going to be construction issues at Everbank, and I'm going to wear my Trevor Lawrence jersey in between my ATN and Jacoby Myers. No, I legitimately something to me about this, as and I'm sure there are probably beat writers and analysts and columnists listening to our show right now laughing and wanting to call in and scold me as well. Fine, go right ahead. I don't care. I just don't feel like this is as egregious or offensive as I think a lot of people are portraying it as.
Well, it is egregious, but I wanted to ask real quick before we get off the Fitzy, you said like she saw a guy, blah, blah, like that need. He lost a game. That's literally his job is to play a game. It's not like his father died. Like if there were extenuating circumstances,
well, the way we talk
he was
about sports
dealing
sometimes.
With something. Yeah. No, he lost a game. He actually had a really great season, went to the playoffs and lost the first game. Yeah. It happens. I didn't get this.
This is a fascinating topic. It really is. And I think Fitzy, you're probably right in the sense that the majority of people would have no problem with it. It's the people in this industry, the people that cover teams on a daily basis, talk about teams on a daily basis that are going to have the biggest problems with. That's why it surprised me to see the tweet from my boy Adam Schefter about this.
Yeah, that was very weird. And he got shredded by people retweeting
no
him.
No surprise.
Yeah. And there were players that were very critical of this. I thought that was interesting. There were a lot of players, or former players, I should say, but former players who now maybe are in the media were kind of ripping her. The thing that the hypocrisy of it is what bothers me. So if she had stood up there and said, Liam, you had a terrible season. You should be ashamed of yourself. What you did as a head coach today, you cost an entire region a chance to win a playoff game. Everybody would say, whoa, what are you doing? It's not about you, woman. This is a press conference. You're supposed to ask questions. So if you say positive things, it's okay. If you say negative things about the guy, you're grandstanding and you're making a show and you're making it about yourself. No. This is about a press conference setting where you ask questions. That's what it's designed to be for. You're not actually supposed to share your opinion, good or bad.
But you realize she made it about herself.
100%. And people
being,
like it.
Being positive.
I can tell you the text line is lighting up. Oh, she was great.
Guys.
Get over it.
Yeah, and, you know where, and Andy, do you know where she's from? You think she's a Jags fan? You think she's Duval? You think she's from the largest square mile city in America? No, she's from Detroit.
Okay. I don't know if but that matters. She's I don't know how long she's lived.
Something
in
she's
been there
a this long woman, time.
But she's lived there a long time.
She was not launching a Substack, and she was not like trying to get people to subscribe to her Instagram page or something. Like, I legitimately, from the way she delivered that, it sounded like she saw a man who was broken or who felt like he had let a team down, a fan base, a region. And there was something in her that just like compelled her to just be like, hey, you did good, guy. Like, you, I, you know, you look like you need a hug right now. And she's taken lots of heat, and there's a plenty of smoke, obviously, that just came from you guys, let alone others. Mm-hmm. And it's probably well warranted in that capacity. We have rules. Without the rules, society obviously would turn on its head, and it would just be a giant blog or a crappy Twitter feed. But it's not. I get it. I'm just saying, I'd probably be willing to either sweep this under the proverbial rug or give her the breakfast ball.
It's just it's very barstoolish. Like, just you know,
it's gimmicky.
It's not real journalism. It's fanboy barstool, and that's, I don't know. I mean, is that what people want now? Is that this
barstool? I didn't hear any F words or piece of review.
Like, no, it's the good version of that. It's all positive. It's the G-rated barstool version. That's what it is.
Stiz, you've been...
I just think, oh, you guys sound so lame. I'm sorry. Like, the people, like, you guys are not Woodward and Bernstein. You're covering a literal game.
Sure.
In this pure human interaction, everyone, all these like supposed journalists are like getting on this lady.
What was the interaction?
I don't understand
the interaction, because everybody's saying it was an interaction. She didn't ask a question, did she?
No.
One question.
Well, she went on subsequent, you know, news programs and said that she felt like his lip was quivering. He was, you know, he was having an emotional moment. And like Nick said, and I agree with him, her maternal instinct kicked in, and she just wanted to offer this guy some words of encouragement. You know, sports is part of the community. This lady's been covering the Jacksonville community for like 30 years. She's been a journalist in that community. And so the Jaguars and Lee and that coach, to an extent, are part of that community. And I think she was offering support like on behalf of the community.
What does that have to do with the wrong place, wrong time argument? That she's at a press conference.
So we could hear the same question, you know, hey, what
so
do they feel like on fourth
anymore?
And down?
No, that's fine. If you're a fan and you
I'm
don't
not saying
want them
that,
to
Andy,
ask why you lost and why,
there's
why
room
Trevor
for
Lawrence
both.
Looked like
nope.
crap.
There's
nope.
room for both.
Nope. People have
her
questions
30 seconds
nope.
asking that question did not take away
yep.
from the third time
yes,
somebody
did.
Asked,
yes,
oh,
did.
Hey, what did it feel like when you threw that pass?
Yes,
like,
it did.
He didn't throw any passes.
There's a finite amount of time in those press conferences, and if you're going to use that amount of time to just tell him your opinions and not ask a question, you're taking away from someone else's time to ask a question.
And can everybody else do that now? If there's a guy that thinks Liam Cohen sucks, can he stand up and just say, Liam Cohen sucks, that's all I have to say, I don't have a question? Like, it's a slippery slope, it's opening pins.
It's a slippery slope.
This
that's
is
it.
An environment in all areas, right? If there's a press conference with the FBI, if there's a press conference with the mayor, you're there to ask questions. Now, people try to slant them, right, in certain directions to get a point across.
It's still a question.
But should those now be, hey, woo, you suck. I hate the bike lanes. Get out of Boston. Nope. You are supposed to go there and respect the process and the situation. And I'll go back to the point I made, Stiz. I think you were probably one of those people that thought Steve Buckley and Bert Breer and Mark Farinella and others, when they went after Bill Belichick,
were unfair.
It's not about you. It's unfair. Mm-hmm. Just ask a question. You're not the show. No one's here to hear you speak. But when it's positive, you love it. When she said,
yeah,
nice
obviously,
coach,
yeah, because
love you,
the
man.
World if, needs if, more of that, and I, she's not trying to make it about her. I really,
oh,
yes,
she absolutely
is.
Did.
Yes,
she
absolutely
no, she did. No, she yes, did not. Yes, you no. think her yes, intention was to try to go viral, or she was this was somehow about her? Like Nick said, she's not trying to
she
launch a Substack.
She should have. Yes,
she was offering a real human moment in a real time and place to a guy that she felt deserved it. Like, I just think you guys are making such a big deal over this.
Then maybe she should. Then maybe what she should have done is chewed up five more seconds at the beginning or the tail end of her little offering to Liam Cohen and said, I apologize, I understand this goes against code or this isn't the way this is normally done. Because if she's been doing this for three decades, she's probably well aware of the way that she's supposed to compose and conduct herself. But I mean, I almost could feel what resonated through her and what she got a hold of. Like, he must have just been absolutely broken and devastated by it. So I appreciate the humanity, but then again, you can find me on one fanboy lane.
I love the humanity. Are you
me
kidding
too.
Me? I'm the biggest humanity guy ever. I love that stuff. Not there and not at that moment.
It's
though.
The time and the place.
She couldn't help herself.
8-minute press conference after the game. That's all it is. The rest of it, she should do that. She could do that. Maybe he needed that. All of those are admirable, whatever. But it's a press conference. Like, suddenly press conferences, when they hand the mic, when Stacey James calls on Mike Reese, Mike, don't ask a question. Just give your opinion on Mike Vrabel and how he's feeling, or Drake May and how he's feeling. Like, if you allow this, you've changed press conferences everywhere forever. If that's
what
it's about.
Yeah, but Andy, that's not true, because this stuff has been happening. I've watched, like, the guy Spaz that used to work for Hillman and, you know, even worked for EEI for a little bit. His thing was, he would go to some of these press conferences, and I think one time he asked Bill Belichick for, like, a pair of tickets to the game.
He did
right?
Super Bowl.
Yeah,
52.
Like this stuff happens all.
They're called bits.
But it's been happening
that's what
for
Ted
20
brought up,
years.
Barstool bits.
It's been happening for 20 years, and it hasn't ruined all the more serious journalists, has it? It's these press conferences haven't been turned into a giant circus. And what does it tell you that Adam Schefter, one of the most respected journalist reporters in the sports,
is he a journalist? Is he questioned? Is he doubt? Does he?
He didn't seem to have a problem with
it. He just gets information and regurgitates it.
And I don't know that he's been to a press conference and asked a question in a long, long time, because the news comes to him.
That's right.
It comes to his cell phone. But I will tell you, 3:45 on Wednesday, we'll ask Adam Schefter about retweeting this and his thoughts on this, because it is interesting. Okay, I don't want to monopolize it. Sorry, Dan Ball. But I will say just real quick on the text line, Ted, you and I are in the minority.
Oh,
the
sure.
Texters believe with Fitzy, the fans.
Yeah, the
fans in the room.
The fan would
My
think
God.
That.
I know. You guys are out here curing cancer.
We never said that. We're
Give
just at a
break.
Press
Got
conference.
Freaking Jonas Salk and Marie Curie in studio, and old fanboy Fitzy back in his dump
so
in
funny.
Connecticut.
I love what she said. Loved it. I mean, I want her
me too.
To give me the biggest hug. But not there and not at that moment.
So and there's an exchange, guys. Like, a writer from the AP tweeted out, nothing awesome about fans/fake media doing stuff like that. It should be embarrassing for the people who credentialed her and her organization, and it's a waste of time for those of us actually working.
There
she was
go.
Read that so, on yep. a news program, and then her response to it was, I don't take no offense to it. I've been in this business more than 25 years. There are no rules. I said what I wanted, and I have no qualms about it.
There
so,
you go.
Well, there are
shot
rules.
Or shot. Good for her.
Wait. There are rules. There's literally a rule, no cheering in a press box. Yeah. I haven't heard them announce before. Now, maybe before press conferences, they have to announce when you get the microphone, it's intended for you to ask a question, not share an opinion of the head coach. Maybe we need to do that moving forward. Also, differentiation. Somebody was like, oh, this is real good, Andy. You go on the radio and praise JB all the time, but she can't.
Very different.
I'm on the radio. If I go to a Celtics game and I sit front row and go, JB, you're awesome. You get screwed by the refs tonight. You should keep your head held high. You are the most disrespected athlete in the history of Boston sports. That would be totally inappropriate.
I mean, it was weird that you were wearing the Jaylen Brown jersey last time you were at that Celtics scrum, but whatever.
I've never crossed the line. There are rules. There's professionalism. And I do think there's a hypocrisy with a lot of people. And I saw Bert Breer kind of talking about this subject, saying the sad part of becoming media is you stop becoming a fan.
That's
like,
right.
You can't really cheer
That's
anymore.
Right.
He was saying he hasn't rooted for a team in an NFL game in 20 years.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that was accused often of going at Belichick and grandstanding and making himself the story. Yeah. Why? Because it was negative. If you had just been patting Bill on the back and saying, Bill, that was awesome. When you went for it on 4th-and-2 and didn't get it, that was awesome.
Yeah,
you should hold your head high.
I don't get that point. Like, obviously, if you insult somebody, it's worse than if you give them a compliment.
Why?
Right? Like, obviously, if I call you, if I say, hey, Andy, great outfit. Like, okay, that's nice. If I say, Andy, you're looking fat today. Yeah, that's disrespectful. You shouldn't do that. Like,
I'm saying if you had a bad season and you lost the game is just as inappropriate as you had a great season and you should keep your head held high. Both are opinions that you can share on the radio. Mm-hmm. Or, guess what? That's the other thing. She has a medium. She has a column. She has a. She could have written a front page letter to open-ended letter to Liam Cohen that we should all feel about our head coach, right? She has the ability to express it. She's not locked in a closet. I also would like to argue real quick, and this is maybe the third rail, but I've seen a lot of insinuations it's because she's a woman or it's because she's a black woman or any of these
that
things.
Has nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. This
Zero.
Is about the time and the place and the message.
No. And you know, an editorial, like I forget the name of that really good one who does him on the news in Dallas. He's maybe the absolute best at him. Would have probably been the proper place, proper time, proper forum. Again, I legitimately believe she just couldn't help herself. And I think she should be forgiven for the fact that, some divine intervention took place and she just...
I hear you, Fitzy. I mean, it's just...
No, I know you're a very motivational, positive guy, Ted. I totally get that.
I just wish I could use the... Something overcame me when I did XYZ as my excuse for things. I just wish I could use that.
Keep that in the back pocket. I will say the best argument I've heard of all of these arguments for her doing this, have you seen a Trump presser? He's always unprofessional. Like... He has changed the way press conferences work from his perspective.
I would actually.
He calls people names. He goes after people. So that
ethics,
is actually.
Let's leave politics out of it.
That's an argument that the press conference
media is changing. Media in general is changing, right? It's not. I mean, you guys sound like the same type of people that are like, I hate Pat McAfee. Like, I hate this new age journalism.
I don't really like him, but.
Yeah, go figure.
Put some sleeves on.
You old farts are getting removed, and the new generation is.
You know what? And maybe McAfee actually yesterday, Ted, called the media that is criticizing her a bunch of curmudgeon bums.
Yeah. There you go.
No, yeah. So you know what I think he did? Yeah. He licked his finger, he put it up with the wind and figured out which way could be more popular, and he went in that direction.
That's right.
What he does.
Yeah. I think he's got 17 million reasons not to give a flying blank what we think.
Because we live in a likes culture. I want to get likes. I don't want to give my real opinion. Because my real opinion might not be popular and might not
get
likes.
Pat is pushed against the narrative.
Bill, you're awesome when you sit down here on game day. You're the greatest GM and head coach I've ever seen.
Bill is the greatest coach of all time.
Could you tell me about Navy? Navy was awesome. You grew up at Navy.
He was an old
pal. Did Billy beat Duke? Oh, my God. Billy beat Duke?
Yeah, that's a soft landing spot. That's the Oprah of sports now when you go on the Pat McAfee show. Dan Ball, just tell us when you want to pull the plug on this.
This is great.
Now seems to be good before somebody jumps through the glass at each other. We'll put a pin in that.
Why have an ethics class?
If a difference of opinion on something like this can't be celebrated without making it personal, then we're all in the wrong business in the first place.
Amen to that, Fitzy.
Just an FYI about making it personal, the 617, all caps, F off Ted and Andy, and they didn't use F. They used all the four letters of that word. So
that was me texting in.
That felt a little personal. All right, that's going to do it for our singular three-point stance today. Very passionate fight. Although, did you guys notice something? There's one, two, three, four of us who spoke a lot. And then there's Dan Ball. He never really chimed in.
I don't know what
he doesn't want to give his opinion.
I don't know what available time you heard during the course of the last 20 minutes. Yeah, do you want my opinion?
Real quick, can you give me the Cliff's Notes version of your opinion?
Yeah, wasn't the time or the place. I appreciate that something washed over her, but that's something that could have just as easily been done 5 minutes later after the presser, and the same sentiment could have been pushed across.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Well said, Dan Ball. All right, that's going to do it for the three-point stances today. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, great win for your New England Patriots, 16-3. The ups, the downs, the defensive dunk. Dominance. It's time for a TED Talk. Ted Johnson's Breakdown up next here on WEEI Afternoons. Back here on WEEI Afternoons. We're all still friends, I think, after we had
100%.
That was sort of like
it's a really interesting discussion, though. It's kind of an old school, new school thinking.
Yes, philosophical, moral.
Yeah.
You know, if a man steals bread, is he a thief? If he's stealing it for his family or those types of things.
That's a great kind of example to use.
And like, what kind of bread is it? Is it sourdough?
Right. Did he really need it, or did he get the fancy bread, raisin bread? Maybe that'll come up again. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of responses on social media postings of those video and that argument.
I'm just, you know, no more journalism classes, no more ethics classes in journalism anymore, I think. Just let those go away.
Well, and that's a bigger topic for
a
different
day. It's
not
about being right. It's about being first. You know, it's all going to hell.
The summation of journalism, quote, it's all going to hell. All right. So it didn't go to hell Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. Patriots got a nice win, 16-3. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Ted Johnson had a big breakdown on TV last night with Phil Perry. But now we get our own version. Ted has thoughts. Patriots, Chargers.
It's time for a TED Talk.
In a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
This was a disappointing play. Patriots had momentum.
From three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
This guy is one of the best inside linebackers in football.
It's like playing hide-and-go-seek with the football. The snap of the ball, said hey.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Running out of bed. Sounder.
So he started the week off. Said big dog show up in January. No, I was just preaching that to our group all week. It's on us. What we do. I've been saying that all season though. Like we can control the game. If we do what we do need to do up front, we're gonna win. And I felt like we did that tonight.
They did exactly what they wanted to do up front. That was the best performance of the defense all season long. It was hands down. I know that wasn't the best offense, but it was a good offense. I mean, and they were excellent, in particularly in the situational phase of the game, third down and red zone. The Patriots defense has been terrible in the red zone. But for most of the season, they were dead last. They worked their way up to the 30th ranked red zone going into this game, and they were unbelievable. There's only two red zone trips, but at first trip they had, if you remember, after the interception, they I couldn't believe they went for it on fourth down. Were you guys surprised? I was.
Yes.
Fourth and goal on the two.
Take the free points. My God,
oh my gosh! They ran kind of a bunch formation where it's three receivers to one side to confuse the defensive backs for the Patriots, because if you watch the tape, the DBs for the Patriots have gotten confused in bunch formation in the red zone all season long. They played it perfectly. He had nowhere to go with the football and executed down there as good as they have all season.
Can I? I was surprised that they didn't kick it, and then I started little Andy Hart conspiracy theory in his head there for why they didn't kick it. I think that was respect for Drake May and the Patriots offense. I think that was a little admission from Jim Harbaugh. Field goals ain't winning this game today. We're going to need to score some points today, and we're this close. We got to come away with seven. I think Drake May was in Jim Harbaugh's head when he told Greg Roman we're going for it. That's my theory.
I feel like they're also on the road, and sending a message was even more important for his team. Like their offense had been struggling recently as well, guys. And getting seven could be the confidence builder they need to get on track and be the team they were early in the year before the line and Herbert both got dinged up.
It's a good point, Fitzy. But I've seen it backfire, though.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Can you go all the way back to my era of football, my last year, 2004, and an aggressive decision by a team in the playoffs early in the game, I think, and in some ways cost them momentum early in the game.
I got nothing.
AFC Championship game, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, they went for it and you stuffed the bus.
Yep, on their opening drive, they go for it and they're on our 35. You know, so it's a longer field goal, but it's very much a makeable field goal. They decide to go for it. We stop them, and then we blow doors on them.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things. So if you hit it, okay, it's a big momentum for your team, but it's also, if you miss it, you can see what happened. I mean, then the Patriots go on a long 10-play drive. I mean, they end up with just a field goal, but still, they get off their own end zone on the second play with that dump off to Ramondre Stevenson that goes for 48 yards.
Was I crazy to say yesterday? We were talking up our guy Marcus Jones, who had the tackle on third down.
Great tackle.
Play of the game.
I'm a believer that if Justin Herbert runs him over or kind of goes past him for a touchdown, I think the Chargers win the game. I think that's how important that stand was. I really do.
I can't argue with you, because momentum's very big early in these games in particular. You talk about that great tackle, Marcus Jones. I thought the tackling was superb all night long. Craig Woodson had some phenomenal tackles in the open field. Jalen Hawkins had some phenomenal tackles in the open field. The linebackers were excellent. And speaking of linebackers, this was very interesting. Listen to Robert Spillane talk about the defense and what the Chargers players were saying to him, on the offensive players at least, saying to him after the game.
After the game, talking to a few of the guys on their team, they had no clue what we were doing. And they came up and said that. We have no clue what you guys were in all game. So
if you watch the tape, I mean, the Patriots did a great job of showing one coverage before the snap, and then rotating to something different after the snap. And I was I saw on Twitter Orlovsky, Dan Orlovsky, he said after he watched the Patriots games, he said, I didn't know what the Patriots were in 80% of the time. Mm-hmm. 80% of the time, I had no idea what they were in. And so that probably explains there's a reason why I think Herbert had such a bad game, and I was not impressed with him because there were times when there were guys open. There was a lot of times guys were open, but it was mostly because of the Patriots disguising their coverages, which is excellent. So I thought the situational defense was the best it's ever been. Red zone, third down. That's the best third down offense in the league, and they only converted one third down, and they were 1-for-3 on fourth down. So huge, huge game. Great tackling. They came to stop the run. They were playing downhill. The best performance this defense has had all season long. And Milton Williams was the guy that set the kind of set the tone with his physical play. I thought the defensive line was incredible. They've been getting pushed around lately. Mm-hmm. Not in that game.
Uh-huh. Oh, and I would also like to add, or ask rather, Ted, you were reasonably critical at times in the preseason and early season of Christian Barmore.
He had a good game. He had a good game, bud. Yeah, that was Barmore, one of his better games.
Interesting. When Milton Williams is back and Barmore's good again.
Yep.
It's funny how that works. Yep. The $100 million guy makes the $90 million guy good. One name you didn't mention, and we brought it up late last week. We asked the question after we had talked about Greg Roman, Josh McDaniels, and Jesse Minter. The best coordinator in this game was Zach Kaur, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. The blitzes, it seemed like the confusion that Orlovsky's talking about. So as Mike Vrabel said, all the praise Zach Kaur can get, Zach Kaur deserves.
And last point on that, and it reflects in the numbers, you guys saw how much they blitz, particularly in the second half.
Yep.
So, and I heard you talking about it yesterday, they normally are a 25% blitz rate defense. They jacked that up to about 45% in this game, particularly in the second half. You could see that they were just creating confusion for that offensive line. And so a lot of kudos and flowers should go to the defensive coordinator. And Vrabel, rightfully so, gave him his poor perfume all over Zach Kaur after the game like he should have.
But you don't win a game without some offense, correct?
That's it.
So we need to get into the offense, and I believe you have a little Hunter Henry highlight here to exemplify that.
Play pass. Oh, picked up on Henry. Twists in. Man, top.
That was a gorgeous pass, was it not?
Yes, it was.
How about that play? We did that play last night on the breakdown. That's the play that we used, and it was a gorgeous pass by Drake May to Hunter Henry in a zone defense, and it was Derwin James who was not where he needed to be on that play. If we look that play a little bit more closely, he had nobody in the shallow part of the field to kind of take his attention away. He should have been deeper on that play. He was not. And Drake May just threw a perfect pass. You cannot defend the perfect pass, guys. I thought that was one of his better passes. Can you think of other passes that you liked in that game?
Other passes I liked in that game.
Kayshon Booty long.
Great.
Booty ball was a nice one.
How about the fourth yard pass to Kyle Williams was delicious.
You know what, Fitzy? My man, you're on point right now. You are on point. That to me might have been a better throw than the Hunter Henry pass.
Yeah, it was nice.
So think about it. Okay, so if you're on the far side of the field, you're on the left hash, and you throw to the right side, and it's a 5 yard out, that's got to be right on the money because a lot of times defensive backs they undercut those and do pick six
like on a toe line. It has to be an absolute completely.
And it's like a 40 yard throw or whatever when you bring in the geometry of it.
There you go. So
it doesn't look as cool because it only goes 5 yards forward.
That's
but it goes a long ways in the
air. I thought that was a great throw in that critical situation. Going forward early like that, I was like, okay, Mike. So anyway, we'll stop there. But that I got some criticism for Drake May coming up, but we'll stop there for now.
All right, we'll continue the TED Talk on the other side here on WEEI. WEEI Afternoons, we are in the midst of a TED Talk. Patriots 16-3 win over the Chargers, advanced the divisional round with that win on Sunday. Wasn't always easy, Ted Johnson, but they got the job done.
And we're going to get to some of the negatives, but I just want to finish up on some of the positives that I saw from the offense. 9 different receivers involved in that game.
Nice.
So that's good. The ball was getting spread around a little bit. I thought some of those incompletions, they had his lowest, I think, game for completion percentage. But a lot of those incompletions were warranted. If you saw some of the throwaways he had in the red zone,
yep.
If you juxtaposition that to, the quarterback that the Patriots are going to play this weekend, just bad decisions in the red zone. You saw from him in that game against the Steelers. Drake May just throwing the ball away on third down and in the red zone was probably the right decision. And then also we got a comment on the offensive line. Yeesh, that's a little scary. Three man stunts, two man stunts, and overload blitzes. They're going to do that. The Texans are to confuse the left side. The left side had a rough game, and so they're going to test the left side. And then also Drake May running the football. I thought he ran at the opportune times.
Yep.
I thought he was in his choices of running the football. I have zero problem with. Some people have an issue with a quarterback that runs as much as he does. If you run it anywhere from 3 to 5 to 6 times a game because the offensive line isn't doing their job or the receivers aren't doing their job, then run the football. I know it doesn't look good, and I know you don't want him to major in that department, but you do it if you don't have the best receiving core in the NFL and you don't have the best offensive line in the yep. NFL, then you have to, at times, run the football. I had no problem when he ran the football. Now let's get to the bad stuff here.
Uh-oh.
All right? This is the first thing. Just listen to the very first thing that Mike Vrabel said when he was asked about Drake May's performance after the game.
Mike, congrats on the win. Wondering what you thought of Drake May's performance tonight. Looked like he had a slower start, but finished very well.
Yeah, I mean, again, we got to take care of the football.
That's it. Got to take care of the football, baby. So that is number one job for the quarterback. He did not do that, Fitzy. I was kind of thought maybe that those days were done. But look, it's been a long time since he kind of looked like that in a game. But those things cannot happen if they're going to go far in the playoffs.
No, I was almost a little taken aback because I can't believe the guy complimented Mike Vrabel and congratulated him on the win. I thought that was terribly egregious. No. Ted, I think it's okay, obviously because of the end result and obviously because Drake May learned and improved over the course of the game, finishing wild card weekend with the highest passer rating of all 12 quarterbacks under pressure. So that's great and definitely improved as the game went on. But he's going to have to face some of these stunts and blitzes and pressures like the Chargers put on him to be able to figure out how to decode those defenses going forward. So you have to fail a little bit to be able to improve and succeed later.
Yeah, I thought my issue with Drake on the fumbles in particular are we love the plays when he holds on to the ball, steps up, and he flings it, just sort of avoids it, and he tried to do that again. He thought on the one they lost that he avoided it, and then he could flick it. He's gotten away with that before, and we praise that. So it's one of those, like, I feel bad criticizing it, yeah. But I'm kind of with Vrabel. It's a playoff game. We need to live to fight another play kind of thing.
No question. Let's not end on a sour note. Let's end on a positive one. Let's go to our next. Okay. One of the biggest thing I thought Drake May showed in this game was, again, he got himself in some trouble with some of the bad plays, but he overcame some of those plays. And I think his strongest ability is his confidence. Listen to this question after the game. Just listen to the question and listen to his answer.
Hey, Drake, you've talked at times about, sometimes nerves kind of set in the beginning of the game for you, a little amped up. Was that kind of going on a little bit, in the first half for you, where you had to kind of settle in, make a couple throws, or kind of get into who you are?
No, I wouldn't say that. The first one to Steph, I was right where I wanted to put it.
Yeah, hell no, I wasn't. What are you talking about, man? What do you mean? It reminded me of another question and answer I had heard somewhere before. What was that, Stiz?
Do you ever worry that one of those guys is going to light you up? Because I wonder why one of those guys doesn't just absolutely light you up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm 230 pounds, 6'5". It's a little harder to light me up than you think.
Hey, so his confidence is what is, to me, is his best strength. And so he has confidence in his ability. You want to call him out for being nervous? What do you mean? I hit Steph Diggs right in the numbers on that first pass, and he did. It was 2nd and 4, and boom, that pass hit him right on the numbers. Now, yep. Then he got shaky after that, but his confidence, I absolutely love it, and I love some of his responses to some of these, I'm not going to say clown questions, but just, good journalistic questions,
So, Fitzy, you notice that? You can't praise the guy at the podium. You can't ask him about bad plays. There's like a really tight window of what you're supposed to do in these press conferences. these ex-athletes are very sensitive. The fraternity, it's I like how they, you know, Chris Berman would say, circle the wagons, the fraternity
Nobody
of
circles
football
the
players. Up next here on thank you for the TED Talk, Ted.
Pleasure.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Ted mentioned it. The offensive line's performance against the Chargers was less than ideal. Will Campbell and Jared Wilson in particular, the rookies who Ted once said I would feast on that left side, they kind of got feasted on by the Chargers. Well, it's not getting any easier, as Mark Schlereth said. The best defense in the NFL is coming to town. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and the Texans pass rush coming at Drake May and this offensive line. How do they deal with it? We're going to break that down up next. We're also going to get to our poll from today. I asked who the MVP was from Sunday night, and it's interesting who's leading the voting and also some comments about that voting. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Afternoons with Hart, Bitsy, and Johnson on WEEI.